Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, everybody, let's get you another hour of the show in here on this Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Thanks to all those who celebrate. Getting us through hump day. It's going to be hot out there today. So, you know, keep that in mind as you're making your decisions. All the more reason to throw on your nice, cool, breezy Hawaiian. Your best. Wear it to the office. Listen to all the compliments and enjoy the day. We celebrate with Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays here on Sports Daily. All right, let's get you set up for this hour. We're going to have Shreyas Lotta in a little bit later. We'll check in from KU camp. We'll check in on football. KU getting some votes in the coaches poll this week, I thought was pretty interesting. So we'll have that. Then we'll check in on basketball as well. Bill Self, all the things he's dealing with. That's all coming a little later in the hour. We'll also dig a little further into the Royals here. We talked for just a few minutes about the loss yesterday. They'll have a game again today, another 6 o'clock start that you'll hear right here, by the way, on KFH. And maybe we'll get to some of these other NFL storylines bouncing around the league. So we'll have that for you. It's all coming. What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring free mini homemade root beer floats with any kid's meal purchase August 4th through the 8th. That means it goes through this Friday. Limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs will be given out, so hurry in today. WBC, it's pizza and root beer made here. So get in there, have some lunch. Also want to tell you about the Summer Concert Series, which is back this weekend. Nafsker Park, it returns Friday. Monterey Jack live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. You can enjoy free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. Full schedule at kfhradio.com. I'm looking up right now. It looks like ESPN is going to acquire the rights to some of the premium WWE events that are coming. This ESPN, and it's just like the latest chapter, this new direct-to-consumer streaming service that's coming later this month. So now you've got WWE as a part of this, it looks like. Just some breaking news within the last couple of seconds here. But it comes, Tommy, as we see, so now WWE is becoming a big part of this new ESPN platform. We know the NFL Network is sort of doing a merger of sorts with this new ESPN platform, where they're going to have Red Zone and some other things. This is all really interesting. You want to talk about two big plays for ESPN. You get a bunch of WWE events, it looks like, including like WrestleMania and then the Red Zone channel. You want to launch your new channel with a bang? My goodness.
Well, and the fact that I've seen speculation that we're looking at a $30 a month price tag. That's probably why, like, you're going to get a $30 a month price tag if you get NFL Red Zone and you get WrestleMania and like all these other things. I mean, that's a steep monthly price to pay. So they've got to have some premium content.
Well, and so here's the question that I would ultimately have with all of this. Can you get everything that ESPN has there? Everything. This is going to be so for people like us. I think there's a lot of people that have like YouTube TV. This is going to make some decisions become difficult. One of the main reasons I have YouTube TV, there's two main reasons I have YouTube TV. One, local channels. Two, sports. That's it, right? Most of our other content now comes from other streaming services. So if YouTube TV, which is trying to make its bones behind having the NFL Network or the NFL Sunday Ticket. Yeah, by having the Sunday Ticket, well, now if Red Zone's going to ESPN, or maybe it's just an option to have it, maybe YouTube TV still gets the Red Zone channel. That's going to make some tough decisions here, because you still need Fox, CBS, all the others to get your other sports content. but so much of it lives on ESPN. $30 a month. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to add $30 a month to what I'm already paying.
Well, yeah, neither do I. I right now, I think I pay an extra $10 a month on YouTube TV to get Red Zone.
Yes.
If I can't get that, and there are other sports premium channels that come with that. I don't ever watch any of them, but they're available there. There's like, I think a racing channel and a soccer channel, like things like that that come along with Red Zone. It's like their sports premium package. I can tell you right now, if I can't get Red Zone through YouTube TV, that add-on goes away for me and I'm saving $10 a month and I'm not going to spend $30 with ESPN to go and get that. I like Red Zone, but not enough to have a $30 a month price tag.
I don't know, man. Red Zone is the my favorite thing to watch on TV.
Last football season was the first football season I ever had Red Zone, and I enjoyed it and I watched it a lot. But up until last year, I never did it, and I was fine. I can go back to not doing.
Fine, you didn't know what you were missing.
You're the same guy that don't like. You won't spend on Netflix. Like you don't have a Netflix subscription.
Yeah, because I don't. Because nothing on Netflix is better than a Sunday on the Red Zone. Nothing on Netflix is as good as that. Like we all pick our spots. That's my spot though. That's my, but literally my favorite thing on television is the Red Zone on Sundays. So I would find a way there. But like all of this is just like, this is pretty seismic. Some of this stuff. Now WWE bounces around everywhere. Yeah, they'll take whatever they can get.
And I'm
right?
not
they're
a big enough.
Netflix. They're on Peacock. They're on like they bounce around. It's significant. It is because it's the first time ESPN has dabbled. Right. And it looks like it's just some of their premium stuff. Like, so maybe it's a few pay-per-views and maybe you get, you know, you bounce around to the different pay-per-views. I I'm not sure, but it's just like seeing that and then seeing the NFL piece of this. And if ESPN just acquires the NFL network and some of their personalities and in the Red Zone, that, you know, it's, I just don't know what it means for the bigger picture of college sports when all these TV deals are getting done. Like that's where I don't like the shrinking, but it would be nice if everything you wanted was in one sports package. And remember too, there was all the talk of some mega sports merger. And when was the last time we heard about that? Where it was like Fox and Turner and like everybody was coming together for some sort of like sports premium package, which would be great, right? It would be wonderful. But I haven't heard about that in a long time. So now I don't know where that stands. The ESPN's making these monumental moves. Rick brings up the NFL having a 10% equity in ESPN, conflict of interest. Well, look, I don't know what the conflict of interest would be. It sounds like a smart business decision for the NFL. If you mean in like negotiating deals with CBS and Fox, maybe. But they were already carrying games themselves too.
I mean, there could be a small argument about journalistic integrity and covering the NFL in that way.
Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like there's an argument that you could make about that.
But Tommy, that already exists because ESPN carries Monday Night Football.
Right.
Right. So I don't know, like that's always been there anyway. You don't want to piss off the rights holders, right? Like you don't want to make the league mad at you if you're ESPN. I would imagine that's not going to be a problem. I don't think that's going to be a problem. It's just like anything else. You have news programs and your news programs cover the news. You know, CBS covers, and that's where people have gotten really mad about the Colbert stuff and everything else. But Colbert's not a news program, but you know, those things do happen. Like can CBS be called upon when its parent company might be doing something that's like, can they be called upon to call it out? There was a big lawsuit with stuff like that. So I don't know.
I'll tell you right now,
sports.
You know, ESPN can do whatever they want. And if they acquire all these NFL properties, again, that's their call. They can do whatever they want. But I'll tell you right now, the hill I will die on, Scott Hansen needs to be protected at all costs. I've seen speculation that if it goes to ESPN, he could be out and they could bring in ESPN personalities to host it. And I would hate that. Can you imagine like Stephen A. Smith and Pat McAfee doing Red Zone on a Sunday?
It would have to be like Van Pelt. I mean, it would have to be, Scott Hansen, he
needs to be protected at all costs. He is incredible.
He does. He's been doing it a long time. I think I've seen him say that he would also be interested in doing other things. Don't quote me on that. Here's what's interesting about that. When I first started watching Red Zone, I had DirecTV. And at the time, my Red Zone
it was different.
Was delivered by Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah.
Not Scott Hansen.
Right.
I didn't even know who Scott Hansen was until after I left DirecTV. And Siciliano did a really good job with it, by the way.
Siciliano's so on this channel it. Quite a bit. He fills in on the Rich Eisen show a lot.
Yeah. And he used to fill in. He's filled in for Rome, I think, too. He's done a lot of stuff. So he's really good. I didn't even know Hansen did it. I didn't know there were two of them. There were, because that's who I was introduced to Red Zone to, you know, however long ago that was, 15, 20 years ago. So now that I've seen, and Hansen's great, too. So I want him there also. But they, you know, I'm sure he'd have to negotiate a new contract, and who the hell knows? It's all pretty crazy. I just looked up and saw, you know, Triple H in the ESPN studio. I'm like, what is going on here? They're good. They're shooting big with this thing. All right, we'll come back. We got more sports said for you. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Appreciate Crestview Country Club and their great support of the program. Nothing better than getting out in a Hawaiian and playing a little golf. Tommy, occasionally, if we're out there and we're playing and I've got a festive shirt on, I had somebody yell at me on a Friday and said, I thought it was Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. The deal is it's Hawaiian shirt every day. It's never a bad day.
Were you wearing pink? Was that a pink Hawaiian golf shirt on Friday? Like a hot pink?
Yeah, that's probably right.
I think that's what it was, if I recall. Which I don't typically remember what you wore on random days, but that one was bright enough that it's hard to forget about.
Highlighter pink would be the term for it. That was another one that my son picked for us to have matching Hawaiian shirts. Not sure why he picked that one, but listen, I'm all for bold choices, and that was a bold choice. So, so we've got a few in the mix, but thanks to Crestview, get out there. I wonder if they're done with their tree work yet. I can't wait to see it, and it's going to be interesting. It is already interesting, but get out there. Looking forward to another meal out there. We've told you that they turned over their menu. If you give them a call and you go take a tour, make sure you take the time to have some lunch if you want to tour the facilities, because it is delicious. They just did an entire new menu. I've talked to people, other members, friends out there, and everyone says the same thing. Like, everything they've had is really good. So congratulations to them on that success. And give them a call. Still plenty of time to go to the pool out there at Crestview as well, which hopefully we'll be doing as it's a billion degrees. You know, we haven't hit 100 yet this year. Have you been paying attention to that?
I think we're going to. I just heard Jake Dunn's Storm Team 12 forecast, and he said that we could be getting our first 100-day temperature of the year.
Okay, so something's changed overnight. I got to pull out my Storm Team 12 app here and look at this because we, unless that's gone up, he is. Ooh, yeah. Okay, so they've got it Thursday 98, Friday 99 right now. That has gone up just a couple of degrees from yesterday. Now, our heat index is going way over.
Yeah.
Like, take the over.
Yep.
I like to call it here, and they won't let me call it there. Swamp ass alert days is what we're going to be dealing with this weekend.
And there's nobody on the planet who is as happy to hear this news than Max Power. He is so thrilled that the temperature is going to be up over 100. If it's like even 91, he's like, yeah, it's chilly. It needs to be hotter than that. Like, he wants it to be like the infernos of hell, basically.
Have you, what's the term for that? And I hope I'm not saying something inappropriate. What's the term for that? Who just enjoys punishment? A masochist?
A masochist.
When did you become a masochist, Max?
Max, that's why they call him Max the masochist.
Isn't he, okay, hang on. We got to be real careful here because is masochist,
it's somebody that enjoys pain. Like they find pleasure in pain.
Okay. This is what I was fearing. Yes, it can be all kinds of pain.
You're right, but come on. Like, get your mind out of the gutter. We're talking about...
My mind's not in the gutter.
Just how hot it is outside.
I used it, and I'm just making sure we're clear. And I think it can be used in a variety of ways. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you Google it, the first thing that pops up...
Yeah, you might need to clear your internet history after searching for that.
Yeah. No images, thankfully. Just definitions here. I think we're clear. Well, cat's out of the bag now. Either way, the punishment of the heat, Max, is an interesting choice.
That'll be an interesting conversation if your wife stumbles upon your search history.
Yeah, it would be. It's 8 whatever time in the morning. I had soccer practice last night for the kids, and it was still like 94 degrees, but it wasn't humid yet. It was fine. I was in a suit. I was in a suit on turf for an hour and a half yesterday, and it was not bad at all. Why? Because there was no humidity. That's what changes over the next couple of days. Swamp ass alert day in full effect when the humidity comes. It doesn't matter if it's 75 degrees. That's what kills me. I'll take 95 with low humidity. Then I'm with Max. I got no problem with that. I like it. I definitely like being hot more than I like being cold. But man, when that humidity creeps in, it doesn't matter what the temperature is. I also sweat from my head, and it's just like a nonstop. It's like somebody just dumps a bucket of water on my head. I mow the yard, Tommy, in like a, you know, an 80s hairband bandana, and have to embarrass my wife. But the other half keeps the sweat out of my eyes. Humidity and I do not mix.
I'm going out to Rolling Hills Country Club tomorrow for the Heritage Classic Media Day. So our buddy Jay Delling setting that up. So we're going to play some golf tomorrow afternoon. Brandon Zinner and myself are representing KFH and Odyssey out there. And I didn't realize until I looked at the heat index for tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be steamy for that Media Day for the Heritage Classic.
Golf cart seats are going to burn your butt.
Yep.
You know, you got to be careful there. Park in the shade. Drink lots of water. Yeah, it's going to be rough. Yep. It is going to be tough. Well, I haven't even looked. How are we looking Monday morning for the Grady Dick?
I think it's supposed to be a little cooler by the time Monday rolls around, which is good.
Partly cloudy, high of 91. We'll be out there so early, it won't be as big a deal. That looks fantastic.
Yeah. We're bringing the show on the road. We'll do the show live from Crestview for the Grady Dick golf tournament.
Evening thunderstorms the night before may cool it off a little bit. Boy, if it gets to be cart path only, that'll be something. Let's hope we don't go there. Be a 7-hour endeavor probably at that point. All right. Let's talk NFL stuff, Tommy. Just stuff bouncing around. The Chargers, I don't know if you saw this, add Keenan Allen. That feels significant to me. They didn't have a lot behind Ladd McConkey. And now they bring Allen back, which has always made sense. He was just kind of floating out there after a year in Chicago. He was there for 12 years, I think, prior to that. He was actually pretty good last year for Chicago, 700 yards, 7 touchdowns. I do think this is of pretty big significance. I think putting him with McConkey and some of the others that they have opens things up a little bit for that offense. We know Najee Harris is dealing with his eye or whatever it is from the 4th of July, but they drafted Amarian Hampton high. We know they want to run the ball. But one of the reasons I've sort of had the Chargers suppressed is because they don't have a lot of pass targets. This adds a big one back into the mix. Even if Allen just does what he did a year ago, along with what we saw to Ladd McConkey, I think that's a much better option than anything they had going into camp. I think this move makes the Chargers quite a bit better.
Yeah, I think you got to temper expectations a little bit. I mean, it doesn't usually work all that well when a player that's been with a franchise for more than a decade leaves and then comes back, and everybody expects him to be the same player that he was when he was there the first time around.
No, he's 33.
Yeah, like he's older, right? And so you are going to see diminishing returns, I think, from him. But as a depth piece behind Ladd McConkey, and as somebody that is a veteran and knows the Chargers organization, familiar, all of that, it does make sense. But he's not going to be an all-pro. And so I think that any Chargers fan that's out there that's like, yeah, we get Keenan Allen back, like our guy's coming home, just understand he'll be okay. I'm sure he'll be fine. But he's also 33 years old.
I think if he just gives them what he gave the Bears last year, 70 catches, 750 yards, 7 touchdowns, if he can give the Chargers that, I think their offense is more dynamic than it would have been. I think this moves the needle for me. Doesn't move it to where I think I'm picking them over the Chiefs or anything like that in the division, but I do think it moves the needle enough for me to say I'm picking them over the Broncos to be second in the division. I think that's a pretty – it's made sense the whole time. As he's been sitting out there, I'm like, man, why don't they just bring Keenan Allen back?
Yeah,
they've got such big questions outside of McConkey.
You know, McConkey plays pretty much the same receiver position that Allen did and does. And so that's going to be a little bit interesting. McConkey plays out of the slot. Allen played out of the slot for a lot of his career.
I don't think McConkey has to play out of the slot. I don't think he did in college. Don't quote me on that. I think positional versatility for him is a thing that makes him really good.
Yeah, but remember, McConkey, you know, has had a significant amount of success out of the slot. And so do you mess with that and move him to the outside because Keenan Allen is back? That's a risky proposition to displace your number one receiver in the position where he's had the majority of his success. For Keenan Allen to come back in and take that spot back over, are you messing with something with McConkey that has worked extremely well in his short tenure in the NFL? That's a really interesting dilemma that the Chargers are going to have to figure out. How do these two guys play together on the field the majority of the time?
Yeah, quick search. He can't. He does. He can play both. He does both. Keenan Allen, I don't think, will be a detriment to Ladd McConkey. I think they'll work fine together. Some of these other young guys can maybe give Herbert a downfield threat. I like what the Chargers are cooking. I think this move makes a ton of sense for them. We've got some. Here's an interesting story: the smelling salts story. They banned it, basically. Everyone knows what we're talking about: smelling salts, right? Like, wake you up a little bit. Yep. Was it Adam Gase that famously took a rip before like a preseason game to hype himself up? George Kittle was upset by this. I think it's a thing that people use to like get like maximum, you know, perception and everything else. The problem is for the league, it can also be something that masks concussions a great deal. And so it makes sense for the league to do this. I never thought of it that way. You know, ammonia is also, you know, ammonia's. So that's what's weird. Like isn't ammonia what you pour on a rag like in the movies to make somebody pass out? Isn't that ammonia?
I have no idea.
Ammonia is a bad cold.
That's pneumonia. There's a difference between pneumonia and ammonia.
There's a good story that goes back to my childhood with my friends on that.
thank you, Max. That was well placed. I guess there are ammonia inhalers that boost mental alertness and energy. There are potential negative side effects. You know, I don't think pro athletes are too worried about the potential negative side effects. But again, they can be used to mask neurological stuff. So it's all concussion based. And I guess Kittle popped on with the announcement and admitted he uses them
like every drive.
He was kidding. He was kidding with all of this, by the way. Because Kittle is a great character of this league. But that's, you know, that's an interesting thing and a smart thing for the league. They've just like concussions continue to be this great threat.
He may, and, by the way, so, he may have been joking. And there were some of the things that he said in that interview that he crashed on NFL Network yesterday that were, he was joking about, I'm considering retiring because of this.
Yeah, that's
all a joke. But at the end of the day, he does regularly use them.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that that's probably, that's tough for him to try to figure out how am I going to operate without, you know, the way that I've been doing this for my entire career.
Yeah, he's just having fun because he's always having fun. But I think as much as anything else, he was just trying to like point out like we use these a lot. Like we're pretty frequent users of these things. Another headline of significance to us, and it's kind of a bummer. Will Howard's going to be out for a few weeks, a hand injury. He has a big opportunity this year. Rodgers, by some reports, has looked really good in camp. More like the old Rodgers than maybe last year, which is to be expected, 2 years off the Achilles and all that at his age. But Howard has a big opportunity here. Rodgers is old. Howard can learn behind the Hall of Famer if he can get ready. Like Howard has a chance here, Tommy, to really impress this team and after this year be the quarterback of the future. I think that's very much on the table for him. So I hate to see that he's going to have to miss time now in camp because of a hand injury. I said this a lot when he was a player in college. There were a lot of things about his game to me that looked like a pro quarterback. And so I hope that, you know, through whatever methods that happen, he gets that chance, but he will now have to miss some time because of a pretty serious injury.
I mean, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers, that quarterback room is wide open or has been wide open. Before the Steelers signed Aaron Rodgers, there was a lot of speculation about what was going to happen at quarterback. And Will Howard was in the mix as somebody that could be considered for that. And, you know, if he's able to come back healthy, if he's able to continue to make a good impression on the team and all of that, then, yeah, I mean, we know that the Aaron Rodgers marriage with the Steelers is probably a one-year thing, and then Rodgers is walking away. So at that point, who knows what the Steelers do? I mean, they could try to throw some draft capital at their quarterback of the future. They could make a trade. They could do some different things, free agency. But if there's an in-house option, that could make things a whole lot easier on them and their decision moving forward. So yeah, I hope that he's able to come back healthy and continue to impress.
You know who else is in that room? Skylar Thompson, which is kind of interesting. Both the K-State quarterbacks there. But yeah, we're going to need to get him back quickly. To get that, the Browns are trying to figure out who to play at quarterback. Shedeur Sanders is going to be the starter. Did you see that against the Panthers?
I did.
Which is pretty interesting. I don't think they've loved anybody, Flacco, Pickett, or Dylan Gabriel. They are all sitting out, by the way, that game. Sanders and Huntley are coming in. You know what's interesting about that? I think it means Sanders is truly the fourth quarterback on the depth chart right now, but the best thing in the world that could happen for Sanders is to get game speed action, to get out there, to play some snaps, and show everybody more than just dancing videos and all these distractions. I'm pretty good at what I do. And I think, you know, opportunities here, Sanders, when we go back to Colorado, and let's pretend like all the weird stuff at the combine and all that didn't happen. We're just talking about the player himself. He always felt like a guy, you didn't watch him and think, man, he's going to wow the scouts when he gets in there at a combine or do anything like that. He kind of felt like you're going to have to get him on the field to see it, quarterback to me. And that's why I probably was a little higher on him than maybe the masses. He was pretty polarizing as a prospect, but it's because when he's on the field, he just makes plays and he's good under pressure, right? Those are the things that those were like his number one qualities, right? Is that he's good under pressure and he makes plays. So the fact that he gets out there, like, and now after everything that's happened between then and now, him getting out and actually being a player in a preseason game is probably the best thing that could happen to him.
Joe Flacco is the quarterback of this team for this season. I mean, like, that's...
Well, but for how long in this season? Who knows? He's 40-whatever years old.
I mean, assuming he stays healthy, he would have to have a horrible, horrible season for them to move away from him, I think, and make Shador the starting quarterback. I think that that's extremely unlikely.
Well, yeah, Shador's fourth. So right now there's Kenny Pickett first and Dylan Gabriel still together.
But those two guys are dealing with injuries, obviously. So that's why, you know, Shador's getting play in this preseason game. But it's Joe Flacco's job. Everybody nationally is going to jump to these conclusions that with Shador starting this preseason game that, you know, that they're, he's going to be the start. Like, he's not going to be the starter, guys. Like, everybody pump the brakes.
I hope they're not jumping to those conclusions.
Oh, it's all over the place. Like, oh, he's starting the preseason game. Like, they're laying the groundwork for him to take over in Cleveland. That ain't happening, guys.
The reality is that means he's last on the depth chart.
Yeah.
But it also, to my point, means he's getting the best opportunity he could possibly get. After everything that's happened, the best thing that will happen for him if he's going to take advantage is to actually get out on the field, not in practice, not in a meeting room, not anything else, but to just get out on the field and try to do the things that made him an intriguing prospect, which is just get out there and make plays. That was another headline of yesterday. And then the Micah Parsons thing continues to just kind of hover over the league right now. He's practicing. Tommy, he's going to play on this deal. He doesn't have a choice.
Jerry Jones did say
no leverage.
Jerry Jones did say that he's not confident that Micah will be available for week number one. So we'll see how that plays out.
If he holds out, I'm pretty sure he doesn't get paid. Like, this is a weird one. It's a weird one, but we'll watch it. There's still a long way to go before week one.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and it is that insider interview with Shreyas Lada. Shreyas, our KU insider. He is the KU beat reporter for the KC Star, covering everything KU football, covering everything KU basketball. Shreyas, I saw in the coaches poll that came out that KU got some votes to get into the top 25. I was surprised by that. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I think so, slightly. In the a lot of the preseason polls from media side of things, Kansas is not even ranked in the top three of the conference, right? So there might be some coaches in the conference or around the country that like what Kansas has built, but I think it's a little early, I think, to say, they are a top 25 team or should be in consideration to be near the top 25.
You know, there have been a lot of question marks going into this season, Shreyas, about the wide receiver room. We know that, KU loses quite a bit of guys, several guys from the team last year that were, you know, extremely productive for the Jayhawks offense. And there's been a lot of chatter through practices and all of that about Emmanuel Henderson, the Alabama transfer. What do we know about him? And is he somebody that we should be keeping our eyes on as we get into the season?
Yeah, I mean, a couple days ago, really last week, the strength and conditioning coach Matt Gildersleeve mentioned how Henderson is one of the fastest guys he's ever seen, even faster than Jason Bean. Mind you, Jason Bean hit, I think, 22.3 miles per hour in a game a few years back against Oklahoma. Henderson has had rave reviews at camp. He's been a guy that the quarterbacks have talked about, Lance Leipold's talked about, Gildersleeve, Zabrowski. I wrote about it a few days ago, but the hype around him is probably as much hype I've seen around a player out of Jalen Daniels or Devin Neal in the two and a half seasons that I've covered Kansas football. It's just, it's been building. It continues to build. And, I feel like the opportunity he has here at Kansas is something he would have gotten at Alabama. He played 3 years at Alabama, only had five catches. He mostly played special teams. But it just kind of shows to you the raw talent that's available if he lives up to the expectations on the bench of some of these teams like Georgia and Alabama. Because at Kansas, he has a real opportunity to be the number one overall wide receiver.
So is, and I think that stuff plays into the vote, but how much is it just, it's Jalen Daniels, it's Lance Leipold. that's a baseline we can get behind. And then, yeah, they've brought in a bunch of really talented players. I just don't know how else you evaluate any of these transfer teams. Like, it's such a hard thing to do.
No, I completely agree. I think, you know, there's the basis of belief goes behind the two things that you said, Jalen Daniels and Lance Leipold. And the fact of the matter is, I think the offense should be, you know, hard to make a judgment call right now, which you said with all the transfers. I think it'll be better than last year. To me, the question mark is the defense. How good is the secondary, especially with the departure of Melo and Kobe? Yes, they brought in some older guys, but are they as good or anywhere near as good as those two guys? It's too early to say. I think, and I understand why they were in the others receiving votes category in the coaches poll, but I'm not, you know, like sitting ready to sit there and say they are anywhere near a top 25 team, especially because their first real test will be week two against Missouri.
It's crazy because we're really not that far away from their opening game. It's a week zero matchup, which we were talking about it the other day. I don't know if Kansas has ever played in week zero before. I think this might be the very first time. But playing Fresno State at home inside the brand new renovated David Booth Memorial Stadium. What is the process look like for the Jayhawks, knowing that basically their season kicks off a week earlier than it normally does?
Well, yeah, they start training camp a week earlier than they typically do. It's kind of gone through the same process of that. They've had two stadium practices in the brand new renovated stadium, I believe. You know, and I think they're just, you know, nothing super different. Everything is just a week earlier. Training camp started a week earlier. You know, they'll be done by this Saturday with training camp. Next Thursday will be media day. And, you know, we'll be back to seeing Kansas in action. And I think it's going to be awesome to kind of see. But nothing has super changed with that. And I think, you know, having those stadium practices, the walkthroughs, have the opportunity to kind of get used to the lighting situation, get used to everything, how the stadium looks, which I think is huge.
Let's talk a little hoops here. Shreyas, of course, all the news lately has been about been about Bill Self's health, which by all accounts is okay now. What is the latest with that? Is he back full go here, or is it going to take some time? What do you know?
Well, he met with a recruit a couple of days ago, just a few days after he got some stents inserted. So I think that's a pretty positive sign. Yeah. In that sense of, you know, like he's back to as much you can be Bill Self. You know, obviously something to monitor. I wrote in a story a few days ago about the stents and insertion. It's a pretty common procedure. I know I've talked to some medical friends in medical school and who are doctors. They had told me there are people who have 10 plus stents. And I got some reader emails who told me there's somebody, their 87-year-old neighbor has 10 stents and is 300 pounds, so they're not worried because Bill Self has a couple of stents. So, you know, I think obviously it's something to pay attention to because it is mostly, you know, caused by stress or diet stuff that can help prevent that. But it's not something that is going to be like, oh my God, this is the reason why Bill Self is not here right now. You know, like he seems to be back to normal for the most part. It's a pretty normal procedure. Until something else happens or something changes, I think Bill Self should be good to go and ready to go by the season starting.
It's interesting because I think just a couple of days before he went to the hospital and had stents inserted, he did an interview with Andy Katz. A pretty long, you know, wide-ranging interview with Andy Katz and talked quite a bit about how the last couple of years he was dealing with health issues and wasn't 100%. And we all know about, you know, him having to set out the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago and all of that. But it sounds like the health issues for him had lingered for quite a while where he was not 100%. And so in that interview with Andy Katz, he's talking about how he finally feels like he's ready to go and back to where he needs to be. And then just a couple days later, if we find out he's in the hospital, do you anticipate, does this change anything for him long-term in his mind? I mean, I know it's hard to, or impossible to get into his own mind to know what his thought process is on his longevity and his future and all of that. But I would imagine things like this certainly could play some kind of role in a decision down the road.
Yeah, I absolutely expect it to play some sort of role. You know, I think maybe it pushes the timeline up a year. You know, like I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you had 2 years left and now after what happened, it's now only 1 year. It's hard to sit there and say because we have no idea what the future kind of tells with his health and what he's thinking about and how he feels the rest of the year. I don't want to speculate too much just because it is about his health. But, you know, we all knew since 2023, Bill Self was not going to be around forever. He was not going to be here into his late 70s. He wasn't going to do that. And I think that's, you know, an event like this is a reminder for Kansas fans and anyone who appreciates good basketball that, you know, Bill Self isn't going to be in Lawrence coaching forever. I think we've understood that by hiring Jacques. You know, maybe he's not the head coach in waiting, but it's clear that they want somebody experienced who has NBA experience to be ready to take over for Bill Self if the time comes to it. And he's going to be a front runner for that job unless they want to hire external, which they could. They could hire younger external. It just depends on who they want, right? Like there's a few names that everyone threw out there, Nate Oates, you know, Todd Golden. I think those are the two guys everyone would look at if you're a Kansas fan. But who knows if those guys even leave the programs they're at.
Well, how does real quick, Shreyas, because I know they've been able and allowed to get some work in. What have you heard about this group of Jayhawks coming in this year?
Yeah, you know, Darren Peterson has looked as good as advertised. Samis Calderon looks a little better than people expected. You know, El Marco and Bryson continue to recover and rehab from their injuries and try to get back to normal. And, you know, I think Cole Rosario is the name that everyone, I mean, Bill's talked about it. Cole has looked good, really good. And he could play a bit of a role, maybe not as big as, you know, you would have hoped, but I think he could play a role for Kansas off the bench this season.
Okay. Well, we're excited about it. We're excited about college basketball season and college football season. That's going to be here real quick. So I hope we're ready for week zero and the Jayhawks and all the things. After week zero, we'll have lots of questions. Until then, we're kind of like, I don't even know what to ask because it's so much new stuff. But we're looking forward to it. You can follow Shreyas' work at the KC Star. You can follow along at SHRE98 on X. Shreyas, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Here goes Shreyas Lotta on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Yeah, Bill Self is, I think he's going to be okay in the short term. It is common. It's just, you know, with family stuff, like the stents are not a bad thing. The stents can get in there pretty in a, like a day surgery and everything else. So hopefully avoided something serious, but yeah, we don't like seeing our sports figures humanized, right? They're supposed to be there forever doing what they do, and that's a part of it. And I'm excited to see him back out there this year, and hopefully he's good to go for this year and however many years he decides he wants to keep doing it.
I do think that even in the short term, it's an underrated move. And I know there was attention about it at the time, but an underrated move to bring on Jacques Vaughn to join the coaching staff because Norm Roberts retired and he was the guy when Bill Self couldn't coach. He was kind of that, you know, interim guy to lead things, run things when there were issues. And so moving forward, you needed a guy like that. And it's not a knock on anybody else on that coaching staff, but they needed a Norm Roberts-esque guy with head coaching experience, whatever, to be on the bench in the event of him needing to fill in from time to time. And so I think that's a good contingency in the short term. And it's interesting, Shreyas, mentioning that when that time comes for Bill Self to step away, more than likely Jacques Vaughn will at least be considered.
Yeah. And you know, if it's hopefully it's later than sooner, right?
For absolutely. Bill Self's sake. Absolutely.
But the longer Vaughn has to be with him, I would say increases his chances of that being a possibility right now. And I've told you this. You've got to put in some serious reps in college back. College and the NBA are so different, especially going, you know, from the NBA down. Going the other way can like seems a little easier, but there's just the recruiting piece and all that, the administrative stuff. Anyway, hopefully Bill Self coaches for a long time. Hopefully he gets right back to his successful ways. All right, that does it for another Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. Tommy, we've got the Royals again, and again, it'll be a 6 o'clock, so not day baseball on the getaway day. 6 o'clock with a day off tomorrow against the Red Sox. You get this game, you split those 6 against them and the Blue Jays, I think you feel pretty good about it. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock. We'll, of course, be back here tomorrow to talk about it.
Yeah, pressure's on, backs against the wall. They've got to try to avoid the sweep, and you know, they've got an opportunity with Waka on the bump tonight to get it done.
Tim Fitzgerald joins us tomorrow to talk a little K-State, fresh off their placement into that preseason top 25. We'll see what Fitz thinks about that and other things in the sports world as well. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.